Hey, what up, guys? It is your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in. I know it's been a while. I apologize. This COVID-19 thing has gotten me feeling all sorts of crazy. So, like the song says, I don't want to two-time you on this. I want to keep this flow going, and I want to deliver to you guys not only the latest automotive design news, but also some techniques and anything to help make you better as a designer in whatever design you want to do, whether it's graphic design, automotive design, product design, video game design, concept design, fashion design, whatever you name it. The things I'm going to talk about today will apply to you. So stay tuned. Thank you for tuning in. Be safe and be well. And let's enjoy this episode of Sketchbook Audio. Hey, everybody, what's up? It is your host of the podcast, Sketchbook Audio. I'm Ryan Sketch. My parents call me Ryan. My friends call me Sketch. Together, I'm Ryan Sketch. So today, I wanted to do something a little bit cleaner, a little bit more homogulous with just gathering all of the different kind of designs you could be an artist in. You could do product design, concept design, automotive design, which is what I do, comic books, whatever it is. There are some basics that they all share. And I wanted to go over some of those basics with you guys today and really get you guys inspired, especially those who are just starting off. For those who are pros, you don't need to listen to me, but maybe these are some helpful hints that or tips that you need to build upon, because it's these foundation items that really show your mettle. They really prove you out to whatever company you're doing work for, or if you're being hired because you're a freelancer, whatever it may be. These are the key items that really make you good, make you great, actually. I can teach you how to be good. Being great requires you to have the passion and the drive to want to be great. So we'll get to that later. But for right now, let's start with the basics. The first thing you're going to need when you any kind of design is a sketchbook. This one in particular is the, and I know it's backwards, so forgive me, but let's read it together. I draw cars. This is my favorite sketchbook, mostly because it's so simple. It's so basic. It's so easy, but it's so perfect because it gives you everything you need to start drawing cars. I'm going to show you a couple entries that I did recently. So you can see I got a book, I got my sketchbook, and it can be any kind of sketchbook. It can be recycled paper. It can be this I Draw Cars series, which, by the way, idrawco.com. They're the guys who make this book, and they're phenomenal, and they have a bunch of different ones. But you'll need a sketchbook or any kind of paper. I like to use this hammer mill. I don't have it on me right now, but it's really good for pens. It's also really good for markers. I don't have any of them on me right now, which is silly because that's what I use on a regular basis. But I do have a pen, and this one's actually a metal cut sketch paddle pen, which I love. Why? Because it's the simplest and easiest and cheapest tool out there. It's a Bic pen. It doesn't get any better than that, but it's branded Middle Cut Sketch Battle, which, if you've never listened to my podcast before, Middle Cut Sketch Battle is a battle royale of artists against other artists. And we sketch whatever the thing tells us to sketch, and we compete against each other. Kind of like hands-off boxing. You go a couple rounds and then see who the winner is, get a nice belt, kind of like a wrestling belt or a UFC championship belt. It's really cool. If you haven't ever seen it, just look it up on Instagram or Facebook. It's actually on my Instagram. In fact, I'll post a comment or two of the Middle Cut Sketch Battle because it's awesome. So if you're a designer or want to be an automotive designer or a product designer, you need to get in on the Middle Cut Sketch Battle. But let's move forward. I said markers. I'm using a highlighter right now. This actually does a great job of highlighting what we call graphics. And that's something like the headlights or the grill or the taillights or the whole greenhouse. That's what a graphic is. And these do a great job of highlighting those graphics. Next thing you need is something like a ruler or an ellipse guide. Let me go show you one of my favorite ones that I like to use. Oh. I should have had this on hand before I started this video, but fortune favors the bold and the stupid. So this is not an ellipse guide per se, but this does make perfect circles. And you can see there's all different sizes. This is great, especially for this book, because if you see in some of these pages, let me find this, you'll see that the wheels are kind of small. So you're going to need something like these three to get you the wheels that you need, and maybe the center cap or the hubcap, whatever it may be. Obviously, you're not going to use this in that book, but you'll need it on a bigger piece of paper, like in an 8.5 by 11 or 11 by 17. So definitely good to have something like this. This was custom made. I can't remember who made this. Oh, Windfire Designs, called a circle tool. Compliments of Kurz. So check them out. It's a great tool. It's made really well. It's very durable and it's super sharp. So if you wanted to throw this like a ninja star, you probably could. I don't recommend it though, nor do I condone violence on this show. Anyways, a couple other things you'll need is something like a straight edge, a ruler, a T-square. They have like those 90 degree, big giant L-shaped ones. Whatever you got that's a straight line, that's what you'll need. French curves is another one where if you want to get away from straight lines, you'll do something like French curves. French curves give you those nice, elegant arches, the greenhouse, some character lines in certain areas. They're phenomenal. And though sometimes they're just small, sometimes they're even bigger, you manipulate them around the vehicle to get the sections that you need. And I highly recommend getting a full kit of them. They're a little pricey, but you can find them ranging anywhere from, we'll say, cheap to, you know, nice metal ones like this that'll last you quite a long time. What else do you need? You're going to need, if you're a digital designer, you're going to need something like a nice computer with a decent amount of RAM and graphics card to run something like Photoshop, Sketchbook Pro. If you have an iPad, Procreate. That's another thing. You can just get an iPad or a Windows Surface tablet. I have a Windows Surface tablet and I have a Cintiq. Let me show you guys the Cintiq. So the Cintiq is this massive screen. Now they have touchscreen ones, but this one is just one that you use one of these handy dandy styluses for. And it is probably the best purchase I have ever made. And I just rotated that camera the wrong way. If you guys are getting dizzy, I apologize. So that's a digital aspect of it. You'll need something like a Cintiq, like I said, a Wacom tablet. You can get just a tablet where, you know, it doesn't have the nice screen, but it's just a tablet and you draw on it and you look at the screen. I find those a little bit complicated to focus on that and the screen. I like the feel of just being able to draw directly onto something like paper and see what I'm actually doing while I do it. I know that sounds weird because on a Wacom tablet, you're supposed to be drawing on it and not looking at the tablet because there's nothing there. There's no screen. You're looking at the screen, but I don't know. My hand and my eyes and my head don't work at the same time as well as I would like them to. What other things do you need? Markers, really good. Something like Copic markers, Prisma markers. Those are some of the better ones. There's other ones out there. I wouldn't recommend Crayola. Not for automotive design, especially on a professional level. But hey, sometimes some people can make those things work. Simple things like toothbrushes work really well if you want to make some sort of splatter design on your artwork. It's really good to have a toothbrush and maybe some loose ink, whatever color it might be. What one thing I learned in art school was actually taking a little bit of the ink that you would get with a Copic marker and drizzle a little bit of that on the toothbrush, and then brush the bristles over your paper and you get this really pretty splatter. And then you can mix a bunch of different colors and make it look like you did some cool graffiti art, I guess. It's a really cool effect and it's simple and cheap. What else? You're going to need, if you're a pencil person and you like to erase, then you're going to need a good eraser. A kneaded eraser is a really good one. Pink erasers are good too. But I like the kneaded erasers because they do slightly better job of picking up the colors and the deeper pencil lines, but they also don't leave any debris like a pink eraser would or a pearl eraser would. So different kind of erasers, a pencil sharpener if you're using pencils again. Prisma has a really good set of Prisma markers. However, they are a little bit expensive, so keep that in mind. there's so many different kind of makers of pencils and good pencils at that. So you won't be wanting for a type of pencil. You just got to pick ones that fit you. Prismacolors tend to be a little bit on the B side of H and B. So you have hard and soft, and the Bs are soft, the Hs are hard. If you have an HB, that's the same thing as having a number two pencil. So if you go further up towards Bs, B1, B2, B3, they keep getting softer. And then if you go the other way, they keep getting harder. The nice thing about the hard pencils is they do a great job of making really fine lines and ones that you're not going to see very well. So if you're a comic book artist, they work great because you don't want a lot of thick, heavy lines right away. You want to just rough in what your drawing is. It's a good idea to have pencils that are like a blue shade or a red shade and use those as kind of your shape making tools. So if you're making a person, for instance, you'll draw your basic shapes and you'll draw them in one of those colors and then you'll ink over that. That's the next thing you're going to need. You're going to need some really good inking pens. Whether you're doing automotive design or comic book design or product design, it's good to have a nice set of inking pens. And inking pens tend to come in, they do come in different tip sizes. So you're going to have a really super fine tip, or you're going to have almost a brush-like tip, and that's going to flow more ink versus less ink. Good thing to have. I can't think of right now any brands, but I'm sure you can find comic book inking pens. Just Google it. Another thing you're going to need is a camera or your cell phone. It's good to have one of those, or if you can afford it and find one that has a very large, I'll show you mine. This one's a little bit older, but it's very good. It's a Mustek 11 by 17. It's actually bigger than 11 by 17, but it will fit large size drawings. And it's great because I typically draw on 11 by 17 and that scanner will scan it in perfectly at a very high resolution. And I love it. It's a little bit on the slow side, but it gets the job done. Like I said, you could also use a camera if you have a good camera, or if you have a good camera phone, you can take a nice aerial photo of that picture and then bring it into whatever program you're using, Photoshop, Sketchbook, Procreate, you name it. You just go ahead and work with that. The other thing that's good to have a camera phone is if you're uploading your drawings to like on the go real quick. I like to take pictures of some of my stuff that's in here. As if you're following me on Sketchbook Audio for Instagram, that's at Sketchbook_audio. If you're following me on there, you'll probably have noticed that I've posted quite a few of these drawings on that. So that is the basic amount of tools you're going to need to do whatever design you're going to do. Like I said, automotive design, even fashion design, concept art, video game design, industrial design, product design, architecture. It's going to work with all of those. So the next thing I want to talk about real quick, and actually it looks like my phone's about to die. The next thing I want to talk about is the kind of basic principles you're going to need to understand when you get into these kind of things. And I'm just going to rattle these off real quick, and then I'll post some articles or some images on Instagram so you guys can see exactly what I'm talking about. But we'll do a series of podcast episodes where I discuss each one in detail because they're extremely important. They're the foundations of any kind of design, and you just have to know them. So let's go through. One, and the most important one, is perspective. Perspective has an endless use. They started using it many, many years ago, like around when they were doing the Sistine Chapel, and they realized that they can create depth with their paintings. I think David and Van Gogh, or not Van Gogh, Michelangelo and Leonardo, they were using atmospheric perspective, and then they started realizing that there's grid lines. Things sort of fade away. Like, think about a railroad track. It narrows the further away you get. And actually, as I'm coming towards the camera, it's actually going to get wider. But going this way, it's narrowing out. Think about that. When you're doing buildings, just simple landscape things for buildings, you're going to really want to know perspective. For comic books, it's great because think about Spider-Man. There's tons of buildings, and they're all in perspective, and so is Spider-Man. So that's a huge thing, and it brings a sense of realism to your artwork, and it makes them more believable, and it helps ground them too. It makes them better. Now, of course, if you're doing something that's abstract or something that's a little bit more like surrealism, you can play around with perspective a little bit and break the rules a bit. So don't think that every artwork has to have those, but they're used in some way, shape, or form. The next one is color theory. Color theory is one of the hardest ones to really get a grasp on, whereas perspective is mathematical. And, you know, it really just takes a ruler and the simple idea of, you know, the 1-point perspective, 2-point perspective, 3-point perspective. It's a pretty easy concept to grasp. It's mathematical. Now, color theory is a little bit more difficult, although some will argue that, yes, it is mathematical, because if you break down the color applications, you're adding like 2 parts red and then 1 part blue to get this color. But thinking of the basics of it, it's very emotional, and it's you have to have an eye for it. And I'd imagine if you were colorblind, it might be a little bit more interesting. I do know somebody who's colorblind, but oddly enough, they make some beautiful colors. They just tell me it's gray, but at least they know the grayscale. Grayscale is huge. It's definitely one of the foundations for something like automotive design. And we'll talk about this in another episode, but you'll start out with gray tones and highlights and shadows using a grayscale. And then you can throw color on top of it in a layer, like an overlay or a multiply in Photoshop and Sketchbook Audio, or I'm sorry, that's my podcast, or Sketchbook Pro. And I wonder if they're going to sue me for having a name that's very similar. Hey, I'm promoting you guys, so don't be too mean to me. So color theory is huge. I'm not the best at color theory. Sometimes I, at least putting it into like a digital thing or with markers, I'm not the best at it, but I will give you guys some great tips and some places to learn really good color theory from. Probably just not going to learn the best from me. And I'm trying to be as honest as possible about that. Another thing you want to learn is form. Form is really big. And, you know, if we're talking about product design, function, form and function. But what I was talking about more with form is the human form or an animal form, and understanding, you know, how a human looks, whether you're kind of blowing it out of proportions in a way. So proportions is where I'm going with this. I'll show some pretty simple examples of what I'm referring to when I talk about head size. So typically a person's body is the size of their head times, I think, like 4, 5, or 6, depending on how big you are. And then you can think of things like the tip of your fingertips over here to your tips over here. The distance between this is actually the exact same distance, give or take an inch, between the top of your head and your feet. It's really interesting. And if you look at Leonardo's, the man, I can't remember what it's called, but it's that the Renaissance man. Yeah. If you look at that, I think it's Renaissance man, right? It's a naked dude who's standing here and his arms are kind of like in a, like a weird circle and his feet kind of go out. Yeah. He found out that the human body is the same height as their fingertips to their fingertips going this way. And then I think the same goes with their leg. But another thing, so that's proportions and getting things proportionate. And then it applies to automotives too. So this book, I Draw Cars, does a great job of explaining proportions to you for vehicles. And it also helps you understand the different segments of vehicles, so you can better learn what proportions are going to work for a car that you're trying to do. So for example, this is a sports coupe. So think of like a Jaguar or something. Your proportions are going to be based off of this. Then if you go to something like a subcompact car, here we go. Your proportions are based more on here. See, there's less circles, there's less wheels in between the wheelbase. This is the wheelbase. The sports car had one more on each side and a little bit of a smaller height. So the sports car's height came up to just 2 circles, and then this subcompact goes up 2.5. We'll get into that further at a later time, but for right now, that's that. Proportions are big, both in cars and people and animals and monsters, whatever you're doing. And also probably even with buildings, I would imagine too. You have to be able to scale things properly, right? What other things do you need to learn? That's all I can think about right now. I'll probably come up with some of the more other ones that might be pertinent to design, but those are the best ones to learn, and those are the foundations of whatever you're going to do. So perspective, color theory, proportions, and did I mention another one? I don't even remember, but that's what I got for right now. We'll go over each one individually. I apologize for the wobbly camera. It's like, it seems like my table's on a three legs instead of four. We'll go into more of these in depth in different episodes, but I wanted to just come back on this and get back into the swing of having these podcasts for you guys, because I know that they're really helpful for people. And I got all the time in the world thanks to COVID. So grab a drink. This is not alcoholic, by the way. Grab a drink, sit down with this podcast, watch this video, and hopefully you guys learn something. And if there's something you want to learn more about, just go ahead and shoot me a message on Instagram, shoot me a message on YouTube. I'll get you that channel here in a minute. Wherever, Facebook, text me, email me, I don't care. Do it. I'll answer your questions. I'll give you help wherever I can, and we'll have fun with it. What else are you going to do during quarantine, right? Make TikTok videos. You'll never see me doing a TikTok video. Anyways, that's sketchbook audio for today. We'll be back next Sunday, or if somebody requests something in between now and next Sunday, expect to see these episodes every Sunday. And then you can also find me on anchor.fm or any other podcast outlet. Just look up sketchbook audio, and there it is, and there we will be. Till then, be good to each other. Stay away from the big groups of people. You're not helping anybody. Just stay at home and draw, right? Yeah. Okay. Till next time. Bum, bum. My screen is not touch screen. You guys can still hear me because I'm still recording. This is a blooper. It's still happening. And we're done.